Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, February 20th, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page. The big story today is State of the State Address. Pritzker unveils $56 billion state budget. Little new on spending, tax on social media. Little new spending. Tax on social media companies proposed. As Illinois awaits court decisions about federal funding cuts and braces for even further cuts amid rising costs, Governor J.B. Pritzker is promoting limited new spending and yearning for normal problems. The governor delivered the final budget address of his second term on Wednesday, proposing a spending plan that largely maintains the status quo and foregoes significant broad-based tax increases. Pritzker also accused the Trump administration of costing Illinois billions of dollars in lost revenue via cuts or policy changes. "I have joked with many of you that I wish I could spend just 1 year of my governorship presiding over precedented times," as he told the joint session of the General Assembly. He said the proposed $56 billion fiscal year 2027 budget required him to make hard choices, but he argued it is ultimately the best path for the state to navigate its way through uncertainty driven by Washington. "It levels off and in some cases reduces programs that are important to me, some of which were proposals of my own," Pritzker said. "But I believe that the imperative of responsible governance and overcoming the fiscal irresponsibility of past decades must come ahead of the interest of any one politician, program, or party." The proposal represents an increase of $878 million, or 1.6% from the current year. But most of that new spending is in required categories like education and pensions. Outside those areas, new spending will grow by just 0.5%. And with more federal cuts to come, Welch said it's something lawmakers have to consider as they go through this process of presenting yet another balanced budget. Comptroller Susana Mendoza, who is responsible for paying the state's bills, told Capital News Illinois she plans to stay the course in managing her office through the latest wave of financial uncertainty in the state. The FY27 budget will mark the last that Mendoza will oversee as she leaves office 11 months from now. "We need to make sure that we're not adding unnecessary spending to the budget," Mendoza said. The governor was very clear today that that's not happening in this budget. "This is a very conservative budget relative to prior years, and I think it speaks to the moment that we're living in, which is a moment of unpredictability and lack of stability at the federal level. So here at the state level, we'll continue to prioritize the most vulnerable." Mendoza said the challenges the state faces now remind her of her ascent into office in December 2016 during the state's two-year budget impasse, when many organizations that depend on state funding were also struggling under the weight of lost government funding. Senator L.G. Sims, Democrat of Chicago, told Capital News Illinois that lawmakers are going to make the best decisions based on the information we have. "Nobody can predict if there's going to be a rage tweet that happens in the middle of the night that will lead to hundreds of millions of dollars being in jeopardy," Sims said. "We can't predict that. What we can predict is our response to it, being responsible in this moment and responding in a way that protects taxpayers, that protects our neighbors, that also provides the services that people so desperately need," he said. Managing expectations. In his role as the top budget negotiator for state Democrats, Sims said part of his job will be managing expectations among lawmakers and advocates who want the final product to fund their priorities. "We're making sure that they understand that it's not a lack of desire, it's a lack of a partner that's willing to participate with us to help make people's lives better, he said. Rank-and-file Democratic lawmakers acknowledged the strain from federal cuts and touted Pritzker's efforts to protect key programs from the chopping block. But some expressed disappointment in the largely defensive posture the governor is staking out. Some progressive lawmakers want to raise taxes substantially to fill gaps in the budget and to increase funding for critical services like health care, child care, and education. This moment calls for more than simply holding the line, Senator Graciela Guzman, Democrat of Chicago, said at a Latino caucus press conference following the governor's 48-minute address. These are essential infrastructure. We should not be walking away from our commitment to protect essential services and make sure that families are not forced to choose between their health, their rent, and putting food on the table. Senator Javier Cervantes, Democrat of Chicago, said the governor's proposal includes helpful investments for child care assistance and early childhood programs, but expressed disappointment that it did not include an increase in the state's child tax credit. Leaders from the Illinois Black Caucus said that they appreciated the governor mentioning the affordability of housing, education, and energy, but they also want to see commitment to issues affecting the Black community. We know that there are budget pressures, budget challenges. The White House is not doing us any favors, said Representative Justin Slaughter, Democrat of Orland Park. But with that being said, we're advocating for equity, advocating for a budget that reflects an intentional effort to address the historical disparities that plague our Black communities. This is the start of the conversation, lawmakers added, emphasizing their commitment to affordability. Many statements issued by members of the majority party said that they would review the proposal line by line and in detail. Welch said he expects about 90% of what the governor proposed to end up in the budget lawmakers approved this spring. But unlike Pritzker's tax strategy of tweaking on the sides while avoiding changes to broad-based taxes, Welch intends to push for a surcharge tax on millionaires. Supermajorities in the legislature would have to approve placing a constitutional amendment on the ballot by May 5th, and then voters would then have to approve it in the November election. I'm having meetings with advocacy groups. I'm talking to people. I'm building support for it and making my case with data and facts, because I certainly believe that that's one of the long-term answers to what we're dealing with here in Illinois, Welch said. He said he had preliminary conversations with Pritzker and Senate President Don Harmon about the revenue-generating proposal. Republicans respond. Predictably, Republicans were less generous in their assessment of the budget picture Pritzker painted, but they found some items to agree on, including slightly less charged rhetoric than his 2025 speech, which was delivered just 2 weeks into Trump's second term. I think, like we discussed before, you know, you walk out and say, well, at least we weren't called Nazis. That's a positive step, said House Majority Leader Tony McCombie, Republican of Savannah. The love stuff was interesting and weird, and just the whole thing about the speech was about his run for president. I mean, that was apparent. McCombie noted that the buzzword of the year in Springfield is affordability. Pritzker used it at least a dozen times in his remarks, but she said the proposals don't match the rhetoric. Let's be clear about what affordability means. It means families can pay their mortgage and their utility bill in the same month. It means seniors can stay in their homes. It means small businesses can actually keep their doors open, and it means tax relief, not gimmicks or new revenue schemes, McCombie said, referring to Pritzker's revenue plan, which includes a proposed tax on social media companies. Senate Majority Leader John Curran, Republican of Downers Grove, summed up the president's remarks as less of a state of the state, and it was more of a campaign speech. Certainly a governor in campaign mode and in a lot of pointing the finger at President Trump and the federal administration, when the reality is We have to address Illinois' fundamentals, where we lack in economic growth, Curran said, though noting that there was less name-calling directed at Trump in this year's remarks. He did keep the rhetoric above board this year. So that's a positive step, Curran said. Curran also said Pritzker's executive order to promote the development of nuclear power plants is a positive step forward on increasing grid capacity. Curran also said Pritzker's proposed cell phone ban should get bipartisan support and ultimate passage. GOP governor candidates, two of the Republicans seeking to deny Pritzker a third term, criticized the proposal. Former state senator Darren Bailey, a Republican of Xenia, who lost to Pritzker by 12 percentage points in 2022, said the governor offered more government and no relief, and that families continued to feel squeezed. The governor can talk about upgrades in our credit rating, but Illinois still holds the lowest bond rating in the country, Bailey said. He can talk about economic growth, but families and businesses are still moving out. He can talk about new programs, but structural challenges that have plagued Illinois for decades still remain untouched, he said. Former WirePoint's president Ted Dabrowski highlighted Illinois' high tax burden, out-migration, and economic growth that lags the rest of the country as signs the state of the state is not great. He sees things the way he wants to see them, Dabrowski said. I see them grounded in reality, and if you look at the last 7 years, they've been miserable. They've been dismal under President Pritzker, Governor Pritzker. And the large photo on the front page shows Governor J.B. Pritzker entering the Illinois House chamber to give his annual budget address on Wednesday, February 18th, 2026. And there's a crowded house there. Pritzker's wife is behind him. Many people are smiling, probably Democrats. There's also a man there, since it was Ash Wednesday, a man there with ashes on his forehead. And that's about all I can describe. Also on the front page here, speech reaction partisan, mixed. Governor's opponents, more government, less relief were offered. It may be a repetition of what I just read in the main article here, but we'll read this anyway. Reaction to J.B. Pritzker's combined State of the State and Fiscal Year 2027 budget address on Wednesday fell mostly along partisan lines. Democrats offered muted praise of the larger status quo spending plan, while Republicans dismissed his affordability message as campaign-style rhetoric devoid of substance. The $56 billion budget proposal and associated legislative priorities outlined by Pritzker, including a sweeping plan to encourage home building through new statewide zoning standards and renewed effort to ban cell phones in the classroom, come amid deeper uncertainty over the status of federal funding under the Trump administration. About $1 billion in funds promised to the state are currently in limbo, the governor's office said. The uncertainty was a common undercurrent as Democratic elected officials offered their first impressions of Pritzker's proposed spending plan. Republicans found few items to praise, though suggested that the tone was better than last year when Pritzker likened the return of President Donald Trump as the rise of Nazism in the 1930s Germany. Democrats offer muted praise. House Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch, Democrat of Hillside, told Capital News Illinois in an interview that Pritzker's speech was a state of the state that needed to be said. President Trump's policies and Republican Congress that's been absent and letting him do whatever he wants to is causing the cost of living to skyrocket, Welch said. Groceries are going up, health care is going up, energy is going up. Everyday essentials are costing more. And you have to talk about that, he said. On the revenue side, the governor is expecting $56.1 billion in fiscal year 27, which would be an increase of $830 million from current year projections. Like the last two budgets, Pritzker is again opting for targeted tax increases that will be paid by businesses rather than consumers. His proposal does not include new taxes on millionaires. and billionaires and corporations sought by progressive Democrats. Instead, it would tax social media companies, raising a projected $200 million in revenue. Tax on social media companies. Pritzker's plan calls for raising $589 million in new revenue. A hallmark of the plan is a new tax on social media companies of at least 100,000 users in Illinois. The companies would be taxed on a graduated scale, beginning at 10 cents per user each month. Platforms with a million or more users would be taxed $165,000 each month, plus 50 cents each month on the number of users over a million. Pritzker's hoping to raise $200 million from the new tax, a more limited amount than digital advertising tax floated last year that would have racked in hundreds of millions of dollars each year. Social media algorithms have been proven to create mental health issues in adolescents and foster polarization and misinformation in society as a whole, Pritzker said. Those companies are profiting from online engagement of Illinois consumers, and they currently contribute nothing to ameliorate the negative effects of their platforms. Pritzker's plan would also raise new funds by adjusting a cap on operating losses reported by businesses and aligning taxes on table and electronic games with each other. Budget officials in the governor's office also said they aren't assuming the worst-case economic scenario in fiscal year 2027. They said the budget is based on S&P Global's January outlook, which shows a stable forecast that assumes personal consumption will continue to grow, corporate profits will remain flat, and the economy won't be plunged into a recession. For the current fiscal year, the governor's office expects revenue to be about $70 million lower than it was first projected when Pritzker signed the budget last year. Federal uncertainty. Pritzker's administration is also assuming that it will win court battles to continue receiving federal funding that President Donald Trump's administration has attempted to cut. About $1 billion in child care funding is currently in limbo as the state sues to continue receiving funding, according to the governor's office. Pritzker said that when Trump took office, he was hopeful the election year threats to gut programs were the kind of unrealistic hyperbole that fuels presidential campaigns, but then is abandoned when cooler heads prevail. Instead, the president stuck to those pledges, and Pritzker pegged the fallout at $8.4 billion for the state. These are not handouts, he said. These are dollars that real Illinoisans paid in federal taxes and that have been constitutionally approved by our elected Democratic and Republican representatives in Washington. The governor, for who many speculate will run for president in 2028, admonished the Trump administration for denying disaster relief funding to Illinois and instead requiring the state to paint over any rainbow crosswalks in Chicago. I want to say to anyone on either side of the aisle, if you want to talk about our fiscal year 2027 budget, you must first demand the return of the money and resources that this state, this president, has taken from the people of Illinois, Pritzker said. But the governor's budget office also projects the state will face multi-billion dollar tax deficits in the coming years as more cuts and new requirements for social services passed by Congress take effect. Pritzker told reporters on Wednesday following the speech that new spending on hiring and software included in his budget proposal is building that infrastructure in order to deal with the future years and making sure that we don't get hit even harder. Little new education spending. While overall spending in the budget would grow by hundreds of millions of dollars, lawmakers and advocates who wanted Pritzker to propose spending big chunks of money on new services this year did not have their wishes granted. But the governor's office said the proposal does not include major cuts to programs. Funding for K-12 public schools via the state's evidence-based funding formula would increase by $305 million and for the second year in a row exclude roughly $50 million that would be designated for property tax relief. Advocates, including teachers' unions, have implored state lawmakers to significantly boost EBF, Education Board funding, arguing the formula is not doing enough to direct necessary dollars to the state's neediest school districts. Budget officials in the governor's office said they believe that the state is still maintaining progress toward improvement funding for those schools. I 100% agree that we need a bill that equitably distributes money to the schools and that we need more to go to our universities, Pritzker told reporters. The principles are all there. I think that there are some tweaks and some questions that we need to get answered before we can get into a final result. Other new spending for education this year includes $35 million to the Illinois Department of Transportation that would go toward helping mass transit districts provide transportation for students to and from schools. Fiscal year 2027 will also be the first year the new Department of Early Childhood will begin full operations. Funds previously allocated through the State Board of Education, Department of Human Services, and Department of Children and Family Services will be consolidated under one roof, totaling $2.1 billion in general fund spending for the new agency. The state's universities and community colleges will also see just 1% growth in spending for the second year in a row under the plan. The Monetary Award Program, more commonly known as MAP, will have funding remain flat at $721.6 million. Other spending areas, a program that provides health care to immigrant seniors, regardless of whether they're living in the U.S. with legal permission, is also remaining in the budget, despite pushback from Republican lawmakers. The program was significantly scaled back in the fiscal year 26 budget and limited only to qualifying seniors and is projected to cost $143.6 million in fiscal year 27. Last year's budget cut a similar program for immigrant adults. Funding for Home Illinois. The state's homelessness prevention program is proposed to remain flat at $253.7 million after being reduced by about $15 million in the current year. The Department of Children and Family Services would see an increase of $74 million, or 4.7% in Pritzker's proposal. It would boost support for caregivers and intervention services. Pritzker also proposed allocating $2 million to fund to train 100 new state troopers. The Department of Corrections would also get $103 million in new funding to add new administrative positions and 100 correctional officers. The state is also expected to spend $100 million beginning in the current fiscal year on new staffing and technology costs to implement new requirements from the President's domestic policy bill that was signed last summer. Pensions would also be fully funded with $10.7 billion as Pritzker continues to pitch the General Assembly on supporting a pension reform plan. Local governments might get a smaller cut of revenue, however. The governor proposed lowering the percentage of income taxes that goes to local governments to 6.23%. That would keep $60 million in state coffers, budget documents show. The Rainy Day Fund, on the other hand, would increase by $176 million, bringing it to roughly $2.5 billion. We're almost done here. Policy priorities. A year after delivering politically heavy speech that focused on Trump's return to power, Pritzker focused much of this year's speech on his legislative agenda for the spring. Pritzker's non-budgetary proposals include a ban on junk fees or the advertisement of a price that doesn't disclose all fees, statewide zoning laws and capital funding to spur housing development, a renewal of a community college bachelor's degree proposal that stalled last year, a ban on cell phones in schools, also revived from a year ago. An executive order aimed at spurring new nuclear power development. The Children's Social Media Safety Act, to increase parental controls, regulate how content is packaged to children, and require social media companies to increase privacy settings on children's accounts. And finally, a moratorium on tax credits for data centers. In local and state news on page A2, Charleston, new assistant principal hired. Okaw Valley School District teacher and coach Bradley Ackers has been hired as an assistant principal at Charleston High School. The Charleston District reported in a news release that Ackers, hired Wednesday evening by the school board, will bring more than a decade of educational experience to the role. Ackers, who is originally from Macomb, has served for the past 10 years as a social studies teacher at Okaw Valley High School. His teaching career has also included positions at Decatur-MacArthur High School and Bushnell Prairie City High School. Throughout his tenure in education, Mr. Ackers has been deeply involved in student activities and athletics, the Charleston District reported. Colleagues describe him as a student-centered, hardworking, and sometimes and someone you can always count on. For Okaw Valley, Ackers has served in multiple coaching roles. This has included assistant football coach, head softball coach, JV boys basketball coach, head girls basketball coach, and middle school baseball coach. Ackers, along with his wife and newborn child, now resides in Charleston. Ackers said he looks forward to the opportunity to work at Charleston High School and to get to know the staff and students there. Charleston CUSD 1 welcomes Mr. Ackers and looks forward to the leadership and enthusiasm he will bring to the district, the release reported. Police shoplifter fled scene. This is from Forsyth. Police said a frequent shoplifter who was cornered at the Menards store in Forsyth drove through the wooden gate and almost rammed a squad car in a desperate bid to escape Tuesday afternoon. A news release from the Macon County Sheriff's Office said suspect Gary L. Jordan fled north and was pursued as he then drove into the Decatur area. The suspect vehicle eventually drove onto ADM property off Bush College Road, said Sheriff's Office spokesman Lieutenant Scott Flannery. The suspect then fled on foot, where he was later found and taken into custody. Jordan, 58, who was being held in the Macon County Jail, was due in Macon County Circuit Court Wednesday for arraignment on charges accusing him of the aggravated assault of a peace officer. He is also facing a charge of aggravated assault, aggravated fleeing, and criminal damage to property. Flannery said deputies had responded to Menards at 1:50 p.m. Tuesday after being alerted by the store that Jordan, a person known to the business from previous crimes, was back inside and stealing items. He was also known to the sheriff's office as a repeat offender and the suspect in multiple other thefts from the store, Flannery added. One deputy, upon arrival, drove into the rear gate area of the store where he observed the suspect in his vehicle at the guard gate. When the suspect saw the deputy, he drove his truck through the wooden gate, nearly struck the deputy's vehicle, and fled the area. And that's all the time we have for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, February 20th, 2026. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.